My first one.
This is,
this is where I say this. Yeah. This is super formal. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Kind of.
All good. All right. So familiar with Tracy from the blog, Joel. Hello, Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
From the Urbanists. You, sir.
James Lynch with Cairo.
With Cairo. Cool. With Cairo Radio. Awesome. Awesome.
I'm a kind of a one topic today. It's something that Rivera was part of last week at Magnuson Park, the Neighborhood Resource Officer Program. And we're just checking in because we're getting feedback at our station from a lot of neighborhoods that would like the same thing. You know, there's permanently based, dedicated beat cops who can get into the nitty gritty of neighborhood issues. And we're just wondering what you think the criteria would be for an expansion. The chief talked about that things are in the works for Little Saigon and Third and Pine already, and they're looking to get some kind of office space, which I guess maybe is, you know, kind of a mini base of operations, mini substation kind of thing. That's what Parks provided at Magnuson Park for the three officers there. So my question is just these beat cops, what do you think the criteria should be to expand, or do you support this kind of program? Would it cost more? Is it a shift in resources, or is it new resources to dedicate cops, pull them off of patrol in that regard?
Yeah, so thank you, Joel. Great question. First and foremost, I'll make clear, I strongly support deployment of these sort of beat cops, community resource officers, whatever you want to call them, across the city, especially in, so not just the Magnuson Park, but especially including in my council district. I think West Seattle in particular could benefit from a similar program. The same underlying issues at play with respect to Magnuson Park in terms of public safety challenges that warrant deployment of these kind of additional resources and this kind of additional focused energy and efforts. Some of the same issues, underlying issues, are at play in my council district in West Seattle, specifically in Elkhi and Harbor Avenue, where I've been advocating for a long time. There's a lot of problem racing, speeding, public safety challenges. There's a row of businesses along Elkhi that have been repeatedly broken into. And so, yes, I strongly support deployment beyond just Magnuson Park, and I would like to see that, and I've asked the chief for that in my own council district, in those areas that I, starting with the areas that I mentioned, but so would work with the chief and the executive to figure out what sort of expansion criteria are. My understanding earlier was that the reason why we couldn't deploy these more broadly at scale across the city is because of, you know, officer staffing challenges, which I understand now that we're making better and more sustained progress on that. You know, we need to bring these back. Everyone's neighborhoods across my district are been calling for more regular patrols, beat cops, more proactive or engagement with community rather than reactive when something bad has already happened. So yes, I support them. And we'll love to see him in West Seattle.
The chief said that when he talked about expansion, he mentioned 12th and Jackson and 3rd and Pike. Do you think that's where the priority should be, or should they be in some other area of the city?
Yeah, so I don't have a holistic view of the various needs across the city from a public safety standpoint, but I know I am laser focused on ensuring we have better resources in my own council district, especially and including in West Seattle that I've talked about. I do know that, you know, certain areas of the CID, 12th and Jackson, for example, long known challenges, particularly as it relates to transit access for folks. So whatever deployment and rollout and expansion of this, yes, we need it. I wanna make sure we focus our limited resources on the areas of greatest need, and I strongly believe that my council district is one of those. So,
speaking of public safety and our council district,
Over the past few days, we've had two more cases of gunfire with bullets through people's windows, bullets in cars. What have you heard about this? What can you, this I think goes beyond beat cops. What are you talking to the police department about so far regarding incidents like that? And if there's anything that can be tried to be done?
Yeah, so I am aware of a lot of the repeated gunfire incidents throughout West Seattle and District 1. I meet regularly with the police chief to talk about specific issues, and he knows I'm very detailed about my requests and you know, addressing very specific micro neighborhood scale issues related to public safety, whether it's gunfire, etc. I'll share that. So in addition to, I do think having more regular proactive patrols is a part of the broader solution. And so we'll continue to advocate for those, for that kind of level of investment and expansion. In terms of more proactive or preventative approach, I think we need to get creative in that regard as well, which is why, in part, last year during the FET levy that voters generously approved, I call for expansion of resources, including to High Point, the High Point area. And during the budget last year, call for late night teen programming. I think that was the exact, you know, wording we used, but added $250,000 in the budget to, because some of these, not all of these gunfire incidents, as you know, Tracy, you know, they're being perpetrated by youth. And so giving our youth more beneficial things to do and opportunities to engage and connect. Rather than being on the streets, I think would be wise. But high level, we need a broad, focused, coordinated strategy and approach, because it's totally unacceptable.
You were joking at the NBA readiness panel when you asked the panelists if the Sonics color should be anything other than green and gold. Were you joking?
I was joking.
Okay.
I'm not the dad joke. It was a dad joke. I admit I'm not a comedian. I say corny, bad, terrible jokes all the time, and that was one of them. But you know, like, as I alluded to, I think at the end of the day, that's a judgment call by the prospective ownership group and the league. And there's clearly many different thoughts on that. Well, maybe not. Assuming that response was illustrative of you know, the broader community, what do you think?
Don't mess with tradition.
Okay, I like that. I like that.
Councilor, I'm sorry. What was your reaction to the mayor's announcement that she wants to accelerate the next phase of the comprehensive plan and maybe look at some of the neighborhood centers that were not advanced by the Harrell administration? I know you don't support an Alki neighborhood center as an example. What were your thoughts on her announcement?
Well, look forward to, I'm aware of the mayor's announcement. Look forward to seeing any specific proposal that might flow from you know, the high level announcement of needing to accelerate some of these. We're, as you know, we're going through our phase two comp plan process right now. But I would certainly agree with the principle that, you know, look, it's expensive in our city. Affordability is an issue. The mayor ran her campaign on that and won. And so voters are increasingly concerned about that. My constituents are increasingly concerned about affordability. If we need to accelerate our housing growth approach and strategy to help as one piece of a broader approach to address affordability, then I'm open and look forward to see, like I said, any specific proposal that might flow.
Follow up on that. The council president just told us that there seems to be considerable momentum on the council to temporarily reduce mandatory housing affordability fees to get some projects moving in the pipeline. Do you support joining that?
I don't know. Okay, here's what I do know. The MHA program is not working as originally intended. We generally have a carrot and a stick approach incentive with MFTE, and then you know, like the stick approach with mandatory, like, but it's not working as intended because too many developers are just paying the fee and building it into the cost of doing business, and we're not seeing them perform. And so that's what I would, and I think many of my council colleagues, I don't purport to speak on behalf of anyone else beyond myself, but we do need revisions to the program. I am aware of high level that proposal from the development community, and I would entertain any proposal. We do need reforms, and we do, I don't know about a blanket elimination of the program or makes sense. I don't think I could support anything like that, but we do need revisions and tweaks to it, both in the short term and longer term, to make sure it truly lives up to its ultimately intended goals, creating more affordable housing by developers.
What else could we be doing? I asked Council President Hollingsworth the same question, to accelerate housing.
Yeah, well, there's a number of proposals, including adding more neighborhood centers, which, you know, I've obviously gone on the record and don't think a neighborhood center in Elkhi makes the most sense given the current evaluation criteria that we use for neighborhood centers, mainly. But, you know, we can expand neighborhood centers. And I think OPCD is doing exactly that. Although I didn't support that proposal at the time, it's now passed settled law. So now, you know, it's time to implement. You know, revisit as we go through our comp plan phase two process on this floor. The executive has been doing it for you know, over a year now, through multiple administrations. But, you know, exploring what the various designations are within the, like, NR1, NR2, NR3, if that makes the most sense. Again, we need to do something. Affordability is a huge issue. It's increasingly important to my constituents in West Seattle and beyond and throughout the city. And part of that means accelerating growth and housing and density. Everything's on the table.
I live in West Seattle and, excuse me, last year my rent went up $100 a month last year. This year it's going up $150 a month. Is there anything that is even being considered to limit those kind of increases, especially when so many other things that we're seeing are going up and affordability is such a big issue?
Yeah, so great question. The state, so our city tools to intervene and act on, you know, rent are somewhat limited based off of action in Olympia, I think last year, maybe this year as well. You know, there's more empowerments, but the state has intervened and enacted, and I think set a, my understanding is they have set, and every year the State Commerce Department comes out with a cap on, you know, the amount of increases authorized under state law. I don't know what that increase authorization is for this year, but you're absolutely right. Rents are out of hand across the city, in West Seattle and beyond. And so, yeah, that's my understanding. No Seattle Transit measure, Ryan?
I actually do have a question for you. You've focused on transit security, obviously, been a big topic. There was a new report out from Metro on their fare enforcement program, which restarted last May, that they only issued 8 citations the entire T of 2025. There's no citations really are getting issued for non-payment on Metro. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that very low number.
Yeah, that's, so I'm not aware of the report. Do you remember when it was released by chance?
It was released at the end of last month.
Okay. We'll have to go dive deeper into it, but take you at your word that only 8 infractions were issued over the course of almost a year now. Let's call it a year. And that's not the only thing that contributes to a perception of transit safety and security, but it certainly helps. So I'd be curious to better understand why there was only 8. I don't think we should be, as a policy matter, going in and you know, writing infractions to every individual for like for every single time, and there should be a strong education component of it. But when you think of a countywide program with or system, in the case of King County Metro, with you know, strong connections and touch points into the city of Seattle, I think eight, even assuming some strong education, eight seems like a low number. So in any event, would love to learn more about that and then work with Metro to figure out, you know, what more. I also do sit on the King County Regional Transit Committee, for that basically is the regional county body that helps to oversee, it's complicated, as you know, King County Metro. But we'd love to work with them to figure out why that is, and then, you know, what more do we need to ensure we have stronger education, and which includes enforcement.
So I just got word that apparently a sweep is planned at Totem Pole Park on Wednesday. Are you aware of this, and what do you know?
So I am aware that, so late breaking news, I think for us both, I've been advocating for, so as we know, to kind of level set for everyone else, you know, in the room, Totem Pole Park in particular, you know, seen a lot of unauthorized encampment activity, and it has resulted, you know, tragically in some very brutal beatings and you know, rapidly devolving public safety situations in and around the surrounding community. I've been calling for, since I've been in office, repeatedly calling for, you know, a number of remediations of the area, and doing it thoughtfully and in my view correctly is going out with outreach workers from the Unified Care Team. And, you know, understanding what the needs are and then connecting and then coming back with options for folks. You know, I did somewhat of a fairly controversial effort last fall during the budget, during a period of uncertainty around what encampment, you know, resolution is gonna look like during, you know, new mayoral transitions. I provided 20-something million dollars of city funds to make sure that we continue this vital work of connecting people with shelter. It's all about getting people indoors. And so, I've been calling for remediation of that area. Also calling for making sure we have more, as you know, more expanded shelter options, and supporting, you know, the mayor's legislation to do exactly that. Adding my public safety amendments to the mayor's shelter legislation passed last week. So excited for that. We're gonna take the final vote tomorrow. But yeah, I've been calling for resolution to that encampment for a while, and especially right after those three people were brutally attacked.
Well, we also had a death there last week.
Yeah, my office looked into that with SPD, haven't been able to confirm if that's the case.
It's on the coroner's report. Yeah,
okay.
A person who died, and they died of an overdose.
Okay. Yeah, so you're absolutely right. There's a huge public safety challenge there. People, it's public safety related, it's public health related now with an overdose death. Situation there is totally out of hand. It's complicated, as you know, because it ties into Rotary Viewpoint Park, Camp Long, parts of the golf course, and then the nearby, you know, shelter. But to answer your original question, I've been calling for remediation of that area for a while. So if we do it right and follow our standard protocols and processes for this critical work, getting people indoors, coming back with appropriate options, that's gonna happen on Wednesday. Seems a little late given what happened, but, you know, I would support that.
One more? Anything else?
Thank you.
No, thank you.
What's on tap for transportation?
What's on tap? Nothing as exciting as the Sonic Spring. I wish, but now we're gonna consider soon the mayor's proposal for, you know, the Seattle Transit Measure renewal. Also, just talking higher level strategically, like we're going to publish the agenda for Thursday later today. But also, traffic safety, it remains a top priority for me, my office, the committee. So there'll be some announcements pertaining to that this week, and then more action on the horizon. So awesome.
Is it two fatalities so far this year?
Two that I'm aware of. Yes, traffic safety.
Yeah.
But more injuries. So we tabulate significant or substantial injuries, and then fatalities as well. So need to do more. Need to do better.